You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 147.
Who would want to be the president when the world can go wrong? And who would want to be the major resident of a big white house at the center of a target-shaped lawn? And everybody knows your name.
So that's a little teaser from a song called Donkeys and Elephants by Gecko 3. I thought that was very appropriate considering this election season. I'm recording this before our election, and this is a totally nonpartisan song, but I think you'll get a kick out of it. You can listen to the full song at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. And my topic today is simulations, use of simulations in education. And now we're mixing into normal sort of browser-based simulations, virtual reality simulations. I'll be talking to Dr. Mikkel Marfelt and Aaron Knox, both of Labster. I discovered Labster recently. They were speakers at our recent Padlet conference here in Philadelphia. And it happens that I have known Aaron Knox for a while. He was formerly at Blackboard. Aaron was the regional vice president for North American Higher Education at Blackboard. I've known him for quite some time, and now he's the vice president of consumer development at Labster. Now, Labster is a company in Copenhagen, Denmark, and Dr. Mikkel Marfelt has a very impressive resume. Mikkel has an undergraduate degree in nanotechnology from Copenhagen University. In fact, he spent some time in China doing research on organic field effect transistors at the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Beijing. He also has an MBA degree from La Trobe University, studied at Stanford Computer Science, and also some studies in Copenhagen Business School. As Mikkel says on his LinkedIn page, he works to disrupt science education through his work as a scientific collaboration specialist at Labster. He partners with universities, states, and governments to improve science education research using 3D immersive simulations, virtual reality, and gamification. So today we're going to be discussing immersive virtual reality and how it can be highly effective for student learning while opening up new avenues for distance learning disciplines. Labster's next generation of virtual lab simulations are helping to improve student motivation, engagement, as well as theoretical and practical skills. And they give a lot of evidence for that. I heard them talk at our Padlet conference, and then I had the pleasure of interviewing them afterwards. You'll see in my show notes a list of references that use the Labster software. Interestingly, as a side note, you've heard of comedians in cars getting coffee and carpool karaoke. Well, we didn't sing, but we ended up conducting the interview in my car because the venue where we had Padlet didn't have a private, quiet room. So we merely went out to the parking lot and recorded the interview. So if the interview sounds a little different than my usual interview, it's because of that. The acoustics weren't perfect, and I had to hold the microphone. But we had a good time, and I think you'll enjoy the talk. Now, simulations for teaching have been around for a long time, but of course, the technology keeps shifting and improving. Of course, I've seen a lot of educational technology, but I was really impressed with Labster. I haven't been so impressed since I discovered ApprendNet, which I've talked about a lot several years ago, that we use here at University of the Sciences. I've seen a lot of simulations, simulation software for education. A lot of the times it's been in pilot mode. It wasn't fully baked, perhaps. It wasn't really commercialized to the extent that it was easy to use and not very believable. But students these days are used to very immersive games. And lo and behold, Labster uses Unity's 2D and 3D game development platform. So they've come up with laboratory simulations that approach the kind of quality that students have gotten used to in some of the games that they play. So listen on to my interview with Dr. Mikkel Marfeldt and Aaron Knox.
Well, Aaron and Mikkel, thank you so much for joining me in my podcast today. This is a first for us, recording in a car.
Yes.
But this turned out to be a great studio for our recording today. So I don't think I've ever heard about Labster. Coming from a science institution, I'm very interested in this sort of technology. We have a few online programs, but no courses that involve labs. And we a while back, we looked at a lab kit sort of thing where students could do experiments on their kitchen table. So this really is very intriguing to me. Can you tell us a little bit about the technology and how this all works?
Sure. The basic concept is we simulate the machines. So the machine, we mimic what will happen if you stood in front of a real machine. When you interact and click the buttons and so on, you will have sort of the same experience just being in either virtual reality or in a browser. And mentioning that, as is right now, we are running about 45 simulations across biological science disciplines. In chemistry, and we're moving into physics and engineering now. And what you do basically is, if you have a browser, one of the most used Chrome, Firefox, or some similar browsers, you simply just click a link. After clicking that link, it loads down sort of this 3D virtual environment, which is, you can think of it as a bit of a computer game, but with very high quality scientific content, instead of, you know, conventional games where you do other stuff. You simply click a link and you run it through the browser. And now we are slowly moving, or have been slowly moving, but are now rapidly sort of taking off within the virtual reality. Virtual reality is an interesting field because it adds another dimension to the learning. And that's key for us to understand. And we're doing a lot of research on understanding what it is that brings a higher degree of learning, a better learning experience to students. So we publish ongoingly papers on the simulations we do and test on students how they experience it. And virtual reality adds, from a research perspective, you're talking about kinesthetics, when you put on goggles and when you see through goggles instead of watching a screen, you actually feel to a much higher extent that you are in a real lab. So that's what the students will experience when they put on virtual reality goggles. They will stand in front of a machine and it will feel very real.
A question related to that is what you're looking at video of real machines, or is this all computer-generated objects?
It's animated. Laboratories, we have a whole team of artists that have made very high-quality animations in lab environments. When we talk about labs dealing with things like microscopy, we actually take physical images from a microscope. So there is that combination of both creating a fairly realistic environment.
And maybe also just to add to that, we're having some interesting conversations now amongst us with Google, and I just want to mention Google Expeditions. That's an interesting project that they're running, which is basically to go out with researchers around the world and use these 3D virtual cameras, 360 cameras, to record what the researchers are doing. And in the future, I would love to see sort of new simulations where we combine the actual footage of researchers doing their stuff, doing their research, and then take the students directly into a virtual created laboratory environment and have them do the same experiments, and then maybe conclude the simulation with a good ending of the researcher solving a mystery or something like that with real footage again. So we can combine.
Would you say that your product has elements of gaming? And how do you get feedback? Is it very interactive? How do you collect data from that experience?
We track a lot of data, and we are... that's part of what our research publication comes out of. What we do, first of all, the product integrates into learning management systems through an LTI protocol. And so teachers can go in and see individually how one student performed through a simulation. That could be, for example, did they answer the quiz questions correctly, theoretical questions around the scientific concept, or did they use the machine in a correct way? That's one thing. Another thing is we sort of, in terms of gamification, we have progress bars that shows how the students improve throughout the simulation. And then an interesting thing happens. I just want to mention that because we've started to see when bulk numbers of students are going through a simulation, then suddenly teachers who can assess across all these students at the same time can see how students are performing. They can start identifying bottlenecks around the specific lab exercise that they are being told to do. Teachers can go in and say, okay, I see that so many students within this course is actually struggling to understand this specific concept. Let me go in and focus more on that when I have the physical lectures.
If I can add, one of the other nice things about most of the labs is they have sort of a scenario around the experience. So if we're talking about a forensics lab, for instance, students can actually experience a crime scene, see sort of what knowledge is known to date, collect the samples, and then take them to the lab. So that helps with sort of the immersive elements in that there is a real scenario that they're working through. Additionally, as Mikkel mentioned, there's assessments throughout the process. I'm constantly being assessed to make sure I've mastered that particular exercise.
Speaking of mastering it and collecting that data, you mentioned LTI integration with, say, Blackboard. Mm-hmm. I guess I assume other LMSs. Is it just a matter of a single sign-on, or do you you feedback actual grades to the grade center, for example, in Blackboard?
We do. So the integrations that we've done have largely been single sign-on, feeding back of originally it started with the final grade, and now we're also recording multiple attempts. And then the plan, of course, is as we grow, we'll spend more time looking at ways to deepen that integration using some of the proprietary tools and APIs that the different LMS providers are currently utilize.
I would guess that your main focus would be on the STEM subjects that are used, I guess, in introductory courses. Is that right? Or do you go into more advanced areas?
We do both. Quite a few of sort of those that are available on the website. You can go into labster.com and there's a lab catalog that shows all the simulations. And many of these are for introductory students. But what we do also is that's the beauty, I think, of the simulations is that you can it's a highly flexible product. You can develop it to be, for example, we have a case where we are developing an open design simulation, as we call it, where students can do a lot of mistakes and they're not told that they do mistakes in the lab before a certain point, and then they're taken back to the origin of where they did the mistake. And that you need to be at a higher level as a student to do that and to understand sort of the consequences of that. But again, the flexibility of constructing the simulations to different levels. We even see that some colleges and universities use a lot of different simulations to make sure that the students that enter their college or their university are up to speed and up to the level that they want, sort of the basic level that they need to be to starting a certain discipline. So you can pick and choose simulations that fit different levels of students.
This seems to be ideal for competency-based education, and that seems to be where everybody's going these days. And I can imagine that'd be very hard to measure in a real-life, you know, laboratory environment, but it seems like you have the tools. Are some of your clients actually using it to measure competencies then?
So it's interesting, if you look at our relatively short history, our few years as a company, it's been working with a lot of the large R1s that haven't really adopted CBE, CBL as of yet. We are in talks with some of the pioneers in the CBE space. Part of my role and why I was brought onto to Labster was help to help with the U.S. expansion, because CBE isn't really as embraced, or I think Europe isn't particularly far along in putting out those sorts of programs. So the intent is, especially going into next year, to work with a lot more of these products, because obviously the use case is there. It's very clear. We can bring a tremendous amount of value to those kinds of programs. So check back with me next year.
Yeah, will do. The other thing that occurred to me is, you've probably heard of the NIH syndrome, not invented here. So, you know, how readily are faculty accepting your products? Is there a way for them to customize product on their own, for example?
Yes, I've come across the NIH. So academia don't tend to be the fastest moving ship in the in the harbor, but but we are making really good progress, and we have started some big partnerships already now. In terms of in the U.S., and that's why we're ramping up the U.S. workforce. So in terms of the customization, while we sort of have two, maybe if you were to segment it, two cases of working with universities and institutions. One is to adopt existing simulations, and all of these simulations has already been developed together with other universities and colleges and so on. So we go in and co-develop these simulations with the experts within the field, and then we offer these simulations to the rest of the world. So that's one way of doing it. If you want to customize some of these simulations, you can to some extent. But what we also do then is go in and develop new simulations from bottom up and saying, all right, we if we're talking with a faculty or an expert within a field, and he says, this is the storyline I want, this is the learning outcomes and the learning goals for the students, then we go in and create the sort of the software development part of it.
I think one of the nice things about Labster too is as a company, we're both very focused on the quality of the experience for the student, but also the quality of the content. We are loaded with PhDs who are actively creating the content for the labs, and the feedback we've gotten from faculty has been quite good. So they understand that, we get it. And with their collaboration, I think we've put together some content that's quite strong.
I did get a chance to look at some of your animations, and it reminds me a bit of Second Life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess I have a two-part question here. Second Life is obviously very customizable. Do you see the product moving in that direction, where sort of before an instructor would adapt it for a particular group of students, they could make adjustments? And I guess the other part of the question is more on the technical side. Is this all built on your own software, or is this something that you employ that other people use for games, that sort of thing?
So in terms of the software, we are so lucky. So we have the founder of Unity, the leading gaming engine of the world, David Helgeson, on our board. And that has been a key principle for Labster. If we are to provide simulations across the world that are accessible to students, even with low-performing computers or who don't have, you know, money to spend on high-end hardware, we need to make sure that it's easily accessible. And we do that through the Unity engine. And that's really what makes it so easy. Again, just clicking a link, and then you actually load the computer game or the simulation itself.
As far as the customization that you can do in something like Second Life, we're in the early stages of a project that we call the Lab Builder, which will allow institutions to go in and build a lab from the ground up, determine the equipment that they want to use, the types of experiments that they want to run, have control over that content. So we're getting there, and the beauty of that is we can see it grow to where students, faculty can start building their own labs and really just multiply the catalog significantly.
Are you working with any equipment manufacturers? It seems that this would be a great tool to market their own equipment and offer it as, you know, training aids to sell their own hardware. Is this something that's happening?
So most of the hardware manufacturers are very very committed to seeing that there's content out there to support their hardware, which makes sense. For us, though, I think we want to largely be hardware agnostic to make sure that we again, with the theme of accessibility, to make it very easy for students on any mobile device, any piece of hardware to be able to access the labs.
And maybe that's sort of another angle to it, but we simulate the equipment that some lab equipment providers create. So Thermo Fisher is an example of a company that delivers lab equipment to universities across the world. And what we do is we provide simulations for Thermo Fisher, so people purchasing Thermo Fisher equipment can go in and take a simulation, learn how to use the equipment, train it, and then use it.
Well, it seems like there are so many possibilities, and the industry is just changing all the time. It's a very, very exciting time to be in education, any sort of education. If we were to look at one of your, say, higher ed clients, who is furthest along in actually deploying your software?
Well, we have quite a few in the U.S. Just recently, Arizona State University has implemented the simulations in a few courses. I think we have maybe 24 of clients in the U.S. It's about 120 institutions across the world already using it. Copenhagen University was one of the first movers in this field. I think it's probably across 7 or 8 different institutes using it in many different courses, and we had an interesting study based on the involvement with the Copenhagen University, looking at what do faculty think about using our simulations, and one of the key points that came out was in general very happy with using it, but what they also saw is that by using these simulations as a mandatory part of the course, students understood better the use of the equipment. They had more efficient time in the lab, in the physical labs, meaning in the end that they had a lower fail rate for the students, 45% drop in the fail rates for the students.
Ah, that's pretty impressive. Well, I think we're almost out of time. Are there any final words you'd like to say about your company and where it's going?
Oh, that's a good question.
I have me.
I have so much to
yeah.
say.
2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. What to say? I think the reason that made me go into this company was the minute that I sat down and tried one of these simulations and realized that the quality of the scientific content just made me realize that this is where we're going in the future.
I think very much as a company, we are really driven and core to our DNA is empowering the next generation of scientists to find the cures to diseases and the solutions to the world's problems. And we think we can play a bit of a role in that. So we have certainly lofty aspirations. In line with that, for your listeners, I'd encourage you to go out on the TED Talks website and search for the Labster Talk, the Michael Bodecker, who's our CTO and co-founder, and watch it. And I think they'll find it quite interesting. It'll give people an opportunity to see a virtual lab in play. Additionally, via our website, labster.com, you can go in and see some of the labs and animations and get a better feel visually for what we do.
That's great. That's a good tip. Of course, I'll have all the links on my show notes. And Mikkel and Aaron, I want to thank you so much for sharing your company with us today. I'm pretty excited about it. I can't wait to show it off to our faculty at University of the Sciences.
Thanks, Rodney. You're the next best thing to Jerry Seinfeld.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Certainly, gamification of education is just in the beginning stages, and I think Labster probably has a promising role in moving especially STEM education forward. So take a look at my show notes. You'll see several links to their extensive references and links to the TED Talk from their CEO and one of their founders. So give it a try. Stay tuned for the full song, Donkeys and Elephants. And don't forget to get out there and vote if you haven't already. Until next time, have a great week.
Who would want to be the president when the world can go wrong? And who would want to be the major resident of a big white house at the center of a target-shaped lawn? And everybody knows your name, makes you easier to blame. Everybody knows your name. I guess I'm falling out with fame. I guess I'm falling out with fame. Donkeys and elephants, the rule in this world. Donkeys and elephants, yeah, rule in this world. Who would want to be a major Hollywood star when your new film just bombed? Who would want to ride in a long white car with blacked out windows and have your private life combed? And everybody knows your name, some scream it out as they take aim. Ah, yeah, everybody knows your name. I guess I'm falling out with fame. I guess I'm falling out with fame. Donkeys and elephants, oh, ruling this world. Donkeys and elephants, ruling this world. Who will look after all the refugees when the last wave's in charge? Who will leave a home sweet family across the white ocean to where it's cheap to grow large? And everybody knows your name, 'cause silver smells of cockle shells just like a stain, yes. Well, everybody knows your name. I guess I'm falling out with fame. I guess I'm falling out with fame. Donkeys and elephants, the rule in this world. Oh, donkeys and elephants, rule in this world. Oh, elephants and donkeys, oh, the rule in this world. Elephants and donkeys, in this world. So if nobody knows my name, won't get upset, I won't feel ashamed. No, if nobody knows my name, I guess I'm falling out with fame. I guess I'm falling out with fame. Donkeys and elephants, oh, the rule in this world. Donkeys and elephants, the rule in this world. The rule in this world. Elephants and donkeys. Donkeys and elephants, yeah.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company. Yes.